Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Spark London.
We tell true stories.
We tell them live.
And we tell them all across London.
To attend one of our live shows, go to sparklondon.com.
My wife and I, wife Frances, we didn't have children and we both very independent. She had her own career, I had my own career, and we spent a lot of time apart, but we were always in touch when we were apart. And I had to go to Italy on business. I was in a place called Bolzano, which is right in the north of Italy. And it's a difficult place to get to, two aeroplanes and so on and so forth. And I said to Frances, well, I'll be away a few days. What are you doing? She said, oh, I'm going to Brighton. I'm going on a course in Brighton. And I duly arrived in Rome to change planes to go to Bolzano, and Frances, my wife, rang me on my mobile phone, and we exchanged, as we always spoke every day. I said, how's Brighton? Oh, Brighton's fine, everything's going fine, and so forth. And then I took the little plane to Bolzano, tiny little airport. You're coming between two great mountains, and it's really back of the beyond. Anyway, I arrived at the hotel in Bolzano to be greeted by the concierge, who says, ah, Mr. Footwood, yes, your wife is in your room. Now, I knew it's not possible for Frances, because she didn't fly, okay. She always went by train whenever she travelled. And no way could she be in Bolzano in the evening when at lunchtime she phoned me from Brighton. No way. So I thought, right, now one of two things have happened. Either they put me in with another somebody else's wife, by mistake, or the organisers have arranged for a lady of the night to entertain me. Now, naturally, I mean, I didn't run up the stairs, but I went upstairs to my room with great anticipation, I can tell you. I had no idea what to expect. I went in the room, and there in the room, with a big smile on her face, was my wife, Frances. Now, what she'd done, she told me a lie. Because when she said she was phoning from Brighton, she wasn't phoning from Brighton at all. She was phoning from Germany. She spent the last 20 hours going by Eurostar through France and Belgium, Germany, Switzerland, Italy, just to get to this little place, Bolzano, ahead of me and sneak into my room before I arrived. I mean, she did know that when I went on these jaunts, if you like, on these business trips, that the sponsors paid for the room, and your wife could go at no extra expense. So she knew she was quite within the rules to go and share my room. There would be no extra charge. Her one problem was, she told me, that when she rang me, she was in Germany at a German railway station, and she was worried that the announcer might come over the tannoy in German and give the game away. It didn't happen. So, I mean, I was somewhat... It's lucky I've got a strong constitution. I could have dropped dead on the floor right there. I said, Frances, my darling, you know, what on earth possessed you to go to all this trouble and tell a lie? You know, what? Which in 30 years of marriage you've never done. What's it all about? And she said to me, just to see the look on your face. And believe it or not, the next morning, she caught the train back to go to Germany, Switzerland, etc., etc. So you tell me, what wife of 30 years marriage would do all that just to spend one night with her husband? I rest my case. Thank you.
I was 18, I had long hair down here, it looked a bit like Slash, but kind of good looking. You could see my face, and it was quite good looking back then. It's been a bit lived in now, and it's got a weird bit of fluff on the bottom. We were having a party, it was a Saturday night. The party was happening that night, and I said, we were going to go after I finished work. And my mate had said, can you pick me up first, and I'll come and hang out on the bar with you, have a few beers with you, and then we'll go to the party afterwards. Yeah, no problem. And then before I started work, I got a phone call from which said, we've not got the stuff for the party in right now. Can you go and see Gina the Punk and pick it up? And I was like, well, yeah, well, I've got to go to work. He said, it's all paid for. It's all just there. Just go out to Gina the Punk's gaff, pick it all up, and then bring it to the party when you finish work at about midnight. Not a problem. So I pick up my pal, who's going to sit on the bar with me. And we go out to Gina the Punk's house. Gina the Punk's house is one of those little terrace houses you see in a little tiny estate somewhere that's got about 3 bedrooms in. And we walk in, and you knock on the door, and it just opens. And inside, there's all these guys lying around with Mohicans and vests and chains. And at the time, I thought this was quite a cool fashion idea, so I kind of identified with the guy on the floor because I used to have a padlock on a chain around my neck, which I thought was a really good necklace at the time, until you start moshing and it hits you in the face. Anyway, we pick our way through Gina, and there's smells of things that I don't quite understand. And then we pick our way through all this sea of bodies, and it's a proper, you know, there's no furniture. The floors are, the carpet's kind of like this in here, but a bit more glossy, with spatches of paint on it. And anyway, she gives us what we got for the party, which is basically a briefcase, and we open it up, and hell, there's a lot of small tablets in there, a lot of green stuff in there, a lot of big blocks of black stuff, some things we don't quite understand, and various bags of white powder, which we don't quite want to know about, and we picked it up. Okay, so we put it in the glove box of my car, and I go to work at the British Legion, and we say, okay, the best thing we can do with this is just leave it in the glove box, park outside the window, then I can see it from the bar, and then we don't quite know what's in there, but we know it's going to get us a lot of time if there's any problems. Okay, let's leave it in there. So my mate's in the bar having a beer with me, and I go and watch the act who's singing all the usual, you're simply the best, better than all the rest. Well, I serve beer to all these 50-something people with big beeries, and we try and keep an eye on the car until it's time to get to the party. The night passed without incident. Anyway, so 12:30 rolls around, and it's time to get ourselves to the party as fast as we can, because my last bell's just gone. We drive out, and we drive towards Lyme. And now, between where I work and where the party is, there's sort of like a 3-mile stretch of open road. And bear in mind, we're in my mum's Skoda, right? So we get going, we finally get onto the open road, and it's a dual carriageway all the way for 3 miles up to Lyme. And we just get going, and there's this woo in the rearview mirror and some blue flashing lights, and my pal looks at me and goes, do you know the phrase shitfuck, where you sort of drive too fast between cars and you go shitfuck, 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 because you're going to hit the wave. It's kind of like that. There was a lot of shitfuck going on right at that point. And I said, leave it me. We just pulled over. I said, I'll do the talking. You just leave it to me. So there's a blue flashing light behind me. A guy gets out. Quick as a flash, I was out of my fucking car. I'm not getting a chance to get to my side of my car. So I'm straight out of the car. Please tell me you've stopped me for speeding. And the guy goes, I said, I'm in my mum's Skoda. We've never got it past 48 miles an hour. And right now, we're on a dual carriageway. And it's a 60 miles an hour thing. And on the side of it down here, and I said, come on, have a look. On the side of it, my mate's out the other side now, chatting to another guy, another copper who's behind him. If you pull the choke switch, is like a little lever down here. And if you pull it right up, and you really gun it, We can't get past 48 miles an hour on open road. Is that why you stopped me? I'm speeding. Please tell me you stopped me for speeding. He went, I'm sorry, sir. We saw you. We followed you since you came out of the British Legion. You took that corner a bit fast, and we suspect you're drink driving. In my head, I'm going, oh, thank fuck for that. So no problem. Have you had a drink tonight, sir? Yes, I had half a lager on my break about an hour ago. We'll have to breathalyze you then. Okay. I see my mate over the back kicking tires on the copper, you know, and they're taking the piss. How fast this go? Is it like a tank? And that kind of thing. So I breathe into a bag, and the guy says, well, you're negative, but you have been drinking, so can you please bring your documents into Warrington Police Station? And I said, not a problem. Yeah, not a problem. He said, in the next 2 weeks, not a problem. And he looks up, and he goes, and I could see the copper's eyes go a little bit. He went, how far are you going? He said, we're off to a party in Lyme, about 3 miles to go, aren't they? He said, yeah, hang on a minute. And he goes back in his car. got a mate of ours in the area, just hang on a minute, and another car comes, and the police car comes behind. I look at my mate, he's still chatting away, fixing the coffin on his case. Right, lads, get your choke on, keep it in first as fast as you can. When you get to second, put your choke on as fast as you, much as you can, then gun it as much as you can. We're going to block the roads behind you and give you a full police escort. So we go all the way, and 3 miles of road. There's a swing bridge. Fucking keep going. Woo! Fucking police lights going all the way. Cars getting out of our fucking way. And eventually we get to Lim Chain Off and we flick the indicators on. The guys all come with him, pass us up this place in Lim, and we get to our place. We give him a wave out the window. All these cars go straight past. And that is how we got enough drugs to put Hunter S. Thompson away forever. I would still be in jail if they looked at that fucking glove box. But that's how we arrived at that party with a full police escort who were damned happy to get us there for that night. Thank you, everybody.
Bit nervous, so bear with me. All right then, I went out for my birthday when I was a bright young thing of 23 or so, and got to about 2 in the morning, and the few hardcore, you know, are still left out, and it's me and these three guys, three of my friends, and it's 2 in the morning, we're in Lincoln, which is not that happening a city, quite frankly, but it's where I'm from, and my friend Andrew says, why don't we go to the strip club? Yeah, let's go. That's a great idea. It's 2 in the morning. I'm 23 and pissed. Let's go to the strip club. This is a great idea. So we go to the strip club. We walk into the strip club. We sit down, have some drinks. And I say, why aren't any of the girls coming over to us? They're talking to everybody else. But they're not talking to us. I perhaps wasn't very self-aware at that point. I'm very friendly when I'm drunk. I love everybody. I had my arms around two guys, my feet in another guy's lap. Why aren't any of the girls coming? You know. And somebody said, probably because you look like a female pimp. Okay, right, sorry, yeah, fine. I'll uncouple. So some girls came over and we had a chat. My friend Andrew said, you should have a dance. Yeah, let's have a dance. This is going to be great. So I sat and had a dance with this stripper, sat on my hands. Very nice, very pretty lady. And it was all great. So more drinks were consumed. And on the way out, my friend Andrew again said, you should ask if they're looking for any more girls. Yeah, that'd be hilarious. So on the way out, I say to the receptionist, are you looking for any more girls? And she says, yeah. And I was like, okay, that's great. Yeah, okay, fantastic. And she came out from behind the desk and looked me up and down. That was the interview. no CVs involved. And she said, can you start next week? I was like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure. I've got three friends here, and I'm a little bit kind of a little bit masculine, a little bit bravado going on. I don't want to say, oh no, I've just fucked up. I don't want to. I just went, yeah, absolutely, I can do that. And I've got to tell you, if you're pissed and you need to sober up very quickly, if you find out that you've just agreed to become a stripper, that is much better than coffee or any kind of just suddenly very, very frighteningly sober. Yeah, absolutely, I can do that. Okay then. So they took my number and my name and everything, and we went away. Did I really do that? I think I had an out-of-body experience where the sober me was looking at me saying, what are you doing? Are you going to do this? Okay, that's fine, we'll do this. So over the course of the next week, I kind of remembered what had happened, unfortunately. And it just never occurred to me to just not show up. I don't know. I thought, well, I've said I'll do it now, so I've sort of got to do this. So, well, great, this is great. I'm a stripper now. All right, I'll do this then. So I went along and just became a stripper. I was a stripper for about a month. Wasn't really for me, if I'm honest. But, it just never occurred to me not to. And I think that my life is just a series of events that happen to me. And I just find myself constantly kind of thinking, don't even think about it, bitch, all right? many years in the past. But I think if you don't say yes to unexpected things, then you'd have no stories to tell.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.